Marie told me that Larry also liked this song, You Raise Me Up. So let's sing this in remembrance, really. Larry, as he liked this song, When I am down and oh, my soul so weary, You Raise Me Up. I first met Larry about 20 years ago. He was an usher, and I would see Larry and Marie sitting right over here pretty much every weekend. And then maybe 10 years ago, I don't know exactly when it was. When did Larry first get cancer, do you know?
I think 9 years ago.
9 years ago, we started to get together at the cancer support group meetings. We have 2 meetings a month, and Larry would come to many of them, most of them, and he always had a comment or two to make when he walked in and would put a smile on everybody's heart. I don't remember any of those comments. But I do remember often he would quote scripture and he would comfort for people in the meeting by pointing out the fact that we're here only for a short period of time and what the real situation is eternal life. I've heard some comments here today from Eric and others about Larry's faith, and I've heard firsthand what his faith is, so I know where he is today. He's with the Lord. But I do want to spend a few moments on the scripture and a few minutes talking about what the Bible says about eternal life, because at memorial services, quite often, we can have the most wicked, you know, person alive, and he is or she is a hero at that point, and always hear they're in a better place. That's only true if they know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If they don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, this is as good as it's going to get. And when you take your last breath, you're going to a place that you've chosen to be there eternally. Not just for a period, but forever. And Jesus said 3 times, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. It's a place of torment. It's a place prepared for Satan and his followers, not for Jesus Christ and his followers, the followers of Christ. We read the psalm, walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Death is a shadow. Death is a shadow for all of us. Why is that so? Why do we even have death? Well, the Bible tells us that in the beginning, there was no real plan of death. God created Adam, perfect man. He put him in a garden, surrounded him with everything he needed, and he told Adam, he says, of all the trees in the garden, you may eat except one. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the day you eat of that fruit, you shall surely die. Later, God told Adam, it's not good that you should be alone, so he brought Adam a wife. He brought Adam Eve. And the scripture tells us right away in Genesis chapter 3, the 3rd chapter in the Bible, that she was deceived by Satan and she ate of that tree. We have Satan with us today. He was defeated on the cross 2,000 years ago, but God has left him in his limited power, much power here on the earth, but no power other than that, to give us an alternative of choice to see whether we love God or whether we love the world. And he's a very attractive choice, because you don't have a choice if it's... Eve wouldn't have had a choice if the fruit were rotten and stinky and smelly and full of worms, which she would have said, get away from that. But it was attractive. And then Satan did 3 things that he always does. He still does that to you and to me today all the time. The first thing he does is he puts a question in your mind about God. He said, hath God said? Questioning God. Then he will quote scripture in an out-and-out lie. And then he'll substitute something for the truth. So what he told Eve was, you eat of that tree. First he said, God doesn't want you to eat of it because he doesn't want you to be smart like him. But if you eat of that tree, you'll be smart like God. And it looked good. It was going to make her smart, so she ate. That was bad enough. But what was much worse, she gave it to Adam and he willingly ate. Now he is the head of the human race. So sin entered the world because Adam disobeyed God. God means what he says. And so death entered life. Death entered the world. Sin entered the world and death through sin. Now, God has designed us so that we all get our blood factor from the Father that we have. And you trace it all the way back, you trace it back to Adam. So you're all of Adam. How do you know you're all of Adam? Because you're all going to die in these bodies. Now again, that wasn't designed from the beginning. In the beginning, in Genesis 1:24, God said, "Let us make man in our image, in the image of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit." Now is God eternal? Yes, he is. So that means you're eternal. So you might say, well, how can you sit here and tell me I'm eternal when Larry has just died? Or so-and-so and so-and-so and I'm going to die. We're going to die in these bodies. These bodies are just a tent, just temporarily. In 2 Corinthians 5, we have this scripture which is very descriptive. It says, "For we know," not we're kind of sure of, but we guess, but "for we know," K-N-O-W, "for we know that if our earthly house, this tent, this body, is destroyed," or we would say die, "we have what? We have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." So I'm here to tell you today, Larry did not die on whatever that date was, a couple of weeks ago, the 5th, no, 9th, 9th. He moved. He moved from that worn-out, cancer-ridden tent that could no longer support his soul and spirit, which is eternal, to a body. We don't know a lot about it, but we know it's the body that God wants us to have to be with him. We cannot be with him in this body. The scripture says, as we go on here, present in the body, absent with the Lord, but absent from this body, present with the Lord. So we read on. "For in this we groan to have this new body, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven. For we who are in this tent, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed that mortality or death may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has also given us the Holy Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." That is the hope and desire and longing of every Christian. For non-Christians, this is as good as it's ever going to be. It's all downhill from here. But for the believer, this is bad as it's ever going to be. It's all uphill. I mean, not uphill in terms of hard, but better. The body you're going to have forever as a Christian is going to make this body look like pretty bad, right? So we shouldn't fear death. We should be ready for it, though, because nobody knows when God is going to call us. The Bible also tells us that we are appointed once to die and once to live. And so God has our day. He has my day. He has your day appointed. It doesn't matter, in my opinion, whether we have cancer, whether we get hit by a truck, or whether a tree falls on us or whatever. That's not going to happen until the day God has appointed for us to die. So I'm not concerned about it. If it's today, I'm ready. If it's tomorrow, hallelujah. One thing I get a little jealous, I'm jealous of Larry right now because he's not confined with his body anymore, and I still am. He can sing, I can't sing. He can dance, well, he could dance before, I can't dance. But he's got his new body to be in the presence of the Lord. So how can you be sure that you're going to have the body that can be present with the Lord? Well, we have that very familiar verse. You see it in the end zones when you watch football games and so forth. It says John 3:16 on it, right? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever," what? Understands? No. Whoever believes should have eternal life. It's that belief in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. We have eternal life through that belief. When it says God so loved the world, what does that really mean? Well, his love was, he created you and me to be in communion with him forever. That's why you're created. However, because of Adam's sin, it has separated us from God. So what was the love that God exhibited to draw and to solve that problem of sin? Because I sin, you sin, the Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death, therefore we all have a death sentence on us because of our sin. And if God says I'm going to die because of my sin, I'm going to die. Accept that. Because of his love for me and his love for you, he sent his son to pay the price. So he sent his son in the form of a man. Although he's fully God, he became a man, which is a mystery we can't understand. We celebrate that birth coming up now at Christmas. He came to earth in the form of a baby. His father was not Adam. He was virgin born. His father was the Holy Spirit. Jesus' blood was not the same as my blood or your blood. And he shed that blood as our eternal high priest. The whole Bible is full of sacrifice. The whole Bible is full of the blood, because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And Jesus shed his own blood to pay the price of my sin and yours. Every single sin I ever have done, every single sin I'm doing now, every single sin I will ever do, he paid for on the cross. And that's the same for each one of you. And I can't even imagine how he can save me, because I'm the worst sinner in this group, I'm sure of that. And yet he loves me and he saved me, and I know I'm saved because there's no limit to his blood. But you got to receive that gift. And this is the greatest gift there ever is. And it's the greatest decision that anybody can make. And Larry made it. So I know he would want me to tell you this today, that you want to make that decision now while you still can. Because once you take your last breath, that's the end, the Bible says. And so God lets us make that decision. You want to be with him forever? Then you believe. You don't want to be with him forever? Say, I don't need him. I'm fine the way I am. That's what many people think. And they may say, you can't believe the Bible. It's not true. I can tell you the Bible is true. I know it is true. I see it coming true all the time, every day in my life. I know Jesus is alive. I talk to him all day long, and I can tell there would be many people in here who would testify that, and there are hundreds of millions of lives that have been changed because of Jesus Christ. So that's the truth. The world will say, oh, no, no, that's a lie. All roads lead to heaven. Just be sincere and do good works and you'll get there. That's not what the book says. Now, they may have another book that tells you that's what their book says, but this is written by the Word of God. This is written by God himself. It's written by the Holy Spirit. Get to know this book. I don't care what books you read in the world. If you don't know this book, you don't know anything. But if you know this book, you have wisdom. You can get knowledge on Google, all the knowledge you want. But knowledge doesn't help you in making the right decisions, generally speaking. Knowledge doesn't help you in finding love. Knowledge doesn't help you in finding eternal life. It's the faith in Christ. And so God made it very simple. It's a cross. A cross. And he said, by this cross is where my gift is demonstrated of paying the price of your sin. The cross, we read in the scripture, to the Jews was a stumbling block. To the Greeks, it was foolishness. How could a cross save anybody? How could that possibly? That's what God wants you to believe. And a four-year-old can believe it. The gospel is so simple. Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he rose again the third day, as he said. Now, if you want to believe in a God, and you do, believe in a God who's conquered death. Don't believe in a God who hasn't conquered death, because you're going to die. You want to believe in Buddha? You want to believe in Hindu? You want to believe in any of the other so-called religions? Their hero is still in the grave. He hasn't conquered death. The only one that conquered death was Jesus Christ. And that you're as righteous and saved as you'll ever be. You don't need to go to school. You don't need any law degrees or anything else. You're saved because of what he's done for you. And Larry would tell you that. Larry would tell you that. So I'm here today kind of standing in Larry's stead, maybe not doing as good a job as he would do, but I'm telling you that. So get right with the Lord, because he loves you so very, very much. Right? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for these precious people. They are so special in your sight, and you love each of us so very, very much. And I know you want us to be with you forevermore. And so, Lord, I just pray that even right now in the quietness, we may not think of death very often, But a memorial service always brings us to that realization that one day I too will take my last breath. And where am I going to be? My soul will live forever, either in one or two places, Lord. That's what your word tells us. And so, Lord, I want you. I confess of my sins and I repent of them. I need a Savior, Lord. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. Come into my heart. I want to give you my life forever. And I pray that would be the prayer and the commitment of everyone here today. Lord, bless the family. Lord, at a time like this, it's mixed emotions. There's grief on one hand. There's joy on the other, knowing that Larry is with you. But there's grief because Larry is not here. We can't hear his voice. We can't touch him. We can't hug him. We can't hold him. So, Lord, you are the God of all comfort. So comfort those who are really hurting today, Lord. And may they sense your peace and your love and your joy. And, Lord, we just thank you for loving us. We thank you for saving us. We thank you for the plan of eternal life. So, Lord, as we go our separate ways today here, may we just be closer to you and closer to each other as well, Lord, as we'll be spending eternity with those who believe in you forever. And so we'll see Larry and all of the others very, very soon. So thank you for meeting us here, Lord, and go before us now as we continue on this afternoon. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's close with Amazing Grace, and then I have a couple announcements afterward. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Sing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. As grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved, how precious did that grace appear. The hour I first believed, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought us safe thus far, and grace will lead us home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing our praise. And when we'd first begun, Amen. Well, this concludes the service. We'll have a reception in the fellowship hall right afterward, and I think some pictures are going to be shown as well, right? Is that right? Yeah. So you're all invited to the reception, and thank you for coming on behalf of the family.